Well, I thought I had it all figured out. I really did. And I thought I had a grasp on the truth of who I am. See, I had a very, very nice life, very comfortable, very, very happily married to my best friend. I had a very nice home that I consider my sanctuary and my happy place, a small business that I was very successful at and doing work in which I excelled, working with people that I really respect and care for, great friends, wonderful family relationships. But underneath all the time, there was always this feeling that I was settling, that I was playing small, that I was playing it safe. And that showed up in a lot of different places in my life. And for many years, I'd had a very meaningful and a regular meditation practice. So one morning, I'm in my meditation practice, and I get this very clear message. And when you have a regular meditation practice, you know what that voice is, when that still small voice is speaking to you. And so very clearly, I heard, you're going to write a book, and it's an anthology of women's stories about pivotal experiences they had and the lessons that they learned from them. And that you're going to have a start a global movement encouraging women to share their wisdom and to create what I call woman tribes, because every woman needs a tribe in her life, maybe more than one. And so I thought, you can't be talking to this girl. I just really thought I had my spiritual antennae crooked and picked up somebody else's message. Because first of all, I didn't do women's groups. And I had never written a book. And I didn't know anybody who lived outside the United States. What are you talking about global? I'm not your girl. I'm not. So I ignored it for a while. But the idea kept coming back over and over again. I would be watching television, and usually it was some celebrity, and she'd be in some compromising position or doing or saying something. And my first thought was, where is her tribe? Where are her friends that need to say something to her and say, oh no, this is not who you are? And I was having those experiences over and over again. So I still would have those and still move on with my life, still thinking I had it all figured out, still thinking that this is who I am and this is what I'm supposed to do. But because I've had a number of experiences with that cosmic 2x4, and now my learning curve is a little shorter, I thought, well, maybe I'll pay attention to this, because it kept coming back and it just would not leave me alone. So I started to delve into this. I really started to think about what this inspiration was, and the ideas kept coming. Spirit was talking to me a lot. And so I wrote it all down. I put together a contributor's packet, and I started talking to women that I long admired who were in my life, women who were icons to me that I really loved and thought that they were someone that the other women of the world would want to hear from. And every single woman said yes. Every single one. And I was stunned because I thought, gosh, I might have to do this thing, you know? People are like believing what's going on here. And so I would see women in documentaries. I was getting pretty bold. I'd see them on TV or read about them, and I'd Google them. It's interesting what you can find out. And I would shoot them an email or call them, and every last one said yes. And every single time they said yes, I would run in the opposite direction because it scared me to death. I would not call them. Because I thought, they'll find out what a fraud I am. That I'm not here to do a global mission. That they're going to laugh. And so I would not do it. I would get busy with my other life, go back to my business, because, you know, I got way too much stuff to do to pay attention to this mission. And lo and behold, those women would call me. And they would say, I'm sorry, I got really busy, but I still want to contribute to your project. I hope I can still get in. What are you going to do? And I would think, gosh, I can't even like run from this thing. And it kept coming. And so I'm doing this book and I'm going along, and it's interesting the things that Spirit brings into our lives to help us get it, to really help us get it. And I believe that Spirit is talking to us every single day. Every moment of the day, to guide you as to what to do, how to do it, who to do it with, who not to do it with. And we've all had those instances where you heard it, heard the message, and you ignored it. I did it for so long. So I thought, that can't be right, because the message is never rational, is it? Never really makes sense. And so one of the things when I first got into New Thought, and I didn't know it, I was just starting to read things and I was attracted to messages and to books. One of the books that I came across was Conversations with God series, and this first book, and this passage literally brought me to my knees. And it said, "There are no coincidences in the universe. I have heard the crying of your heart. I have seen the searching of your soul. I know how deeply you have desired the truth. In pain have you called out for it, and in joy, unendingly have you beseeched me, show myself, explain myself, reveal myself. So go ahead now, ask me anything, anything. I will contrive to bring you the answer. So be on the lookout. This book is far from my only tool. You may ask a question, then put this book down, but watch, listen. The words to the next song you hear, the information, next article you read, the storyline of the next movie you watch, the chance utterance of the next person you meet, or the whisper of the next river, the next ocean, the next breeze that caresses your ear. All these devices are mine. All these avenues are open to me. I will speak to you if you will listen. I will come to you if you will invite me. I will show you then that I have always been there, always." Always. So as I'm doing this project, this mission I believe I've been called to divinely, resources, people, money came from everywhere to help me do this. And my husband and I are avid movie watchers, and one day we were watching Secretariat, because there were days when I just, probably every day, not just days, where I doubted that I was the one really called to this. And so in this movie, we're watching Secretariat, and in the last 6 minutes of this movie is the depiction of Secretariat running the Belmont in 1973. So we're watching this, and I had a very strong reaction to it. Can we have that clip now?
Only five horses in the field today, many of the owners conceding that this is, in fact, a match race between Secretariat and Sham. The field is at the post. Chick Anderson with the call.
Horses now loaded in. Surging from the gate. Secretariat away very well, has good position on the rail. Secretariat driving immediately into the lead. Secretariat and Sham off to a surprisingly rapid pace.
He's going out too fast.
Secretariat, Sham on the outside is also moving along strongly, and now it's Sham. Sham and Secretariat are right together.
This is no good.
My Gallop has third behind them, then it's twice a prince.
Go!
Sham pushing Secretariat into an even faster pace as they round the first turn. Drawing away down to the back stretch. Sham pressing Secretariat even faster. Secretariat refusing to yield, driving forward.
This is unbelievable. No horse can take this pace.
Sham pushes forward to challenge for the rail.
Come on, Ronnie. Come on.
Three quarters of blistering 109 and 4. 109 and 4. Secretariat and Sham locked in a deadly duel. Then it's another 8 lengths past the Private Smiles, who's trailing the field.
Sit quiet.
drive away at blazing speed. With a half mile still to run, Secretariat sprinting away. Four lengths. Six. Nine. 11. Entering the final turn, Secretariat is moving like a tremendous machine.
That's impossible.
He laughs at fear, afraid of nothing. He does not shy away from the sword. He cannot stand still when the trumpet sounds.
I still can't watch that without goosebumps. And every single time I watch this, and I watched this 6 minutes every day for about a year before I finished that book. And every single time I watched it, I was in tears and didn't know why. But every single time that horse ran that race, my heart just opened up. And I thought, what is this? I don't ride horses. I don't bet on the horses. What is this about this? And so one day, after all these days, for about a year watching this movie, I'm sitting after I played this clip again, and I'm sitting on my floor of my bedroom in tears, and I just said, what is it? What are you telling me? What is this? And very clearly I heard Spirit say to me, you are a winner at heart. And I thought, oh my God. Oh my God, I've never, ever, friends, used the word winner and my name in the same sentence, unless there's a big knot somewhere. Because I didn't, I was 55 at the time when I was working on my book, and never in my life had I finished anything that was great. Like I said, I was doing all right. I was doing fine. I had a good life. And I had also remembered that throughout my life, I was offered several very lucrative opportunities, and I ran from every single one of them because I was afraid. Why would somebody offer me something like that? I'm not that good. That's what I always told myself. And I thought about, you know, all the family dysfunction and all your baggage that you drag through life with you. And I thought, I don't have it. And so I ran from all those opportunities. Me, a winner? But Spirit has a way of bringing the truth of who you are right here, people, right here, in a way that you cannot possibly walk away from. And so I got that message and I sat in it. And every single time I needed to do something connected to this mission and I was afraid, I went to that movie clip. And I would watch it and I would feel like Secretariat running that race again. And I was able to do the things that I was afraid of, do the things that I doubted I could do. Because that's who we are. We are awesome, awesome beings. And we walk around thinking we're not part of the awesomeness of this universe. One of my favorite scriptures is Psalm 139. And the psalmist says, I praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, O Lord. I know that full well. I don't know it. I know it full well. And fearfully doesn't have anything to do with being afraid or frightened. It has to do with awesomeness. So every single time your breath is taken away by a sunset or the ocean or any scene that you see, anything in nature or the love of someone in your life, you should have the same feeling about your own awesomeness. And we walk around not feeling that way most of the time. And I still have to be reminded. I still watch that movie clip. And there's something about me and movie clips, because I now have another movie, the last 6 minutes, that does it for me again. Me and movies, I don't know. But that's what we're here for. Each and every one of us has a mission. Each and every one of us. And there's no great and small in the universe. So if your mission, you believe, is to encourage young people, little boys and girls, and to tell them every single day that you are precious and you are treasured and you are special and you are here to do something special on this earth, that's huge. Because how many times have you heard somebody who did something that we think is huge and said, my third grade teacher encouraged me, told me I could do it, and that's why I'm here today. Because they believed in me. So there's no great and small in the universe. Everything is great. Everything is needed. And I know there's somebody in this room right now who's thinking, she's not talking to me. Because I did it too. You sit there and you wonder, who am I? Or you find somebody, because that's what I did. I would measure myself against other women. They would walk in the room and I would think, gosh, I want what she has. She looks like she owns the joint. And they've got this presence without even saying anything, just when they walk in the room. And I would think, I want that. What does she have that I don't have? So let's fast forward to the day that I'm finishing my book. Got my laptop on my lap. I'm sitting in my living room. And I've got about 3 or 4 things, very small things to do. And you would have thought there was a 20-foot wall, 20-foot high, that I had to leap to get that book done. Because I'm sitting there in tears. Frozen, wondering what the heck is going on. But in this ear over here, my play it small and safe self was telling me, oh, you got this history. You don't do anything great. And even if you could finish the book, you won't, because you don't finish anything. And it dragged out shipping containers of my baggage. I didn't have little baggage. I had shipping containers of baggage. And I dragged it everywhere I went. And it showed me all of my baggage. This is why you're not going to do it. You're damaged goods. You were sexually molested as a child. All that. You're not good enough. You can't do this. And you won't. Even if you could. And nobody's going to listen to you because you're not worth it. You're not. And on the other side, though, the same voice that said, you're going to write a book. The part of me, the God self in me, said, for this you were born, girl. Finish the 3 or 4 things. We can do this. Because we don't do anything alone. This is a life of co-creation. You're not doing anything alone. All you got to do is the one small step in front of you. And that's how this whole project unfolded for me, one step at a time. I still don't know what's going on. If you told me a year ago that I would be speaking at church, I really would have thought that you had bumped your head. Really. But this is what it's about, folks. The truth of who we are. And Spirit is whispering in your ear every single day. Spirit is still whispering in mine. And all you have to do is say yes to the one thing in front of you. And for me, that meant one more woman to talk to, one more email to send out to. So I could, those days when I wrote the emails and was afraid to hit send. And it took me an hour to hit send because I was afraid. What if she says yes? Oh my gosh. And they all said yes. So we all have this mission. You do. You have a mission. I don't know what it is. I heard mine and ignored it for so many years. And most of us, I know there's a lot of people in this room who are doing that. Well, you hear it because it doesn't make sense. I tell you again, I didn't do women's groups. I didn't have global. What does that mean? I'm still trying to figure out what that means. And how do I do that? How do I make that work? And why would anybody across the globe listen to me? You know, I still have those thoughts. But we are fearfully and wonderfully made. It's the knowing full well that we have to get. And so I don't care what you have to do to get it. If you got to watch the movie 100 times like I did, if you have to read the book, listen to the song, read the article, chance meetings with people who will all of a sudden say, oh my gosh, you're something special. Those people are sent to you, all the messages, always. That's what this book was saying. I'm with you always in all ways. And Spirit's just asking us to step forward and do what we're called to do, to be who we're called to be. It's like an enfoldment. So there's nothing you got to learn. There's nothing you got to do. There's nowhere you have to go. Because it's all right here. And it's just a matter of opening it up. And Spirit will take you there. Because I'm taking places I never thought I would go. Meeting people I never thought I would meet. Now standing on stages speaking about this experience. Open your hearts. Open your ears. And then when you hear, heed it and move. So many years I heard it and didn't move. Hear it, take it, and go. And even if you can't trust it, just go. Just go do it. And it'll come across in the doing. Because all of the shipping containers of baggage, I'm now down to a little wheelie bag. It does. It sheds away. And Spirit will bring you in front of all of those fears and show it to you and help you let go of it in the doing. You can't think about it. You can't pray it away. At least I couldn't. Maybe that'll work for you. It'd be nice if it were easier. But in the doing, it all goes away. And you see, and I trust me, you will be astounded by what you're capable of and who you truly are at your core. And it'll change your life. Absolutely. And there's no more playing small. There's no more settling. That's not what we're here for. We're here for grand things. And if you don't do what you're here to do, there's a void. There's a void. And it'll be filled with something else. And so there's a job. Even if somebody else does something similar, they can't do it just like you would. We are unique, awesome beings. So my prayer for you today is that you hear the message. Because it's coming in. We're just walking around like this. And then when you hear it, you don't believe it. Trust it. This is the God of your being speaking to you, saying, this is why I created you. For this, you were born. Thank you very much. This has been an honor and a privilege. Have a great day.
Thank you so much, Kim. Can we give her another hand, please? Yeah. And I think what I'd like to do today, for instead of doing a spoken meditation, is just go ahead and do this song, All I Know. I think it would tie in very nicely, so. It was another lousy day at work, so at lunch I took a drive. Figure out how it was that all my dreams had died. Down a red dirt road was an old wooden church on the edge of a cotton field. Big old ancient oak tree waving to me in the breeze. So I pulled up right next to it, pleased with the choice I'd made. I was gonna find some peace by God in that tree's majestic shade. I didn't expect what I heard next, since I thought I was alone. A gentle voice said, "I'm so glad you found your way back home." And it said, "The answer you're looking for is right inside your heart. Why not try to open it wide? You'll find a brand new place to start." It slips like water through your hands, and you should know that it's not too late to make a change in plans. It's all I know. So I'm staring at this old woman. She was about as old as that old tree. An amazing fire was in her eyes, and she was staring back at me. I asked her where she came from and if I'd lost my sanity. She said, "Honey, when you ask for help, you ended up with me. The answer you're looking for is right inside your heart. Why not try to open it wide? You'll find a brand new place to start. All I know is time won't wait. It slips like water through your hands, and you should know that it's not too late to make a change in plans. It's all I know." So I woke up under that sprawling oak as day turned into night. A gentle breeze had spread the leaves, and a single ray of light became that woman's smile as she disappeared from sight. How else could I thank her but to act on her advice? The answer I was looking for was in my heart, it's true. I changed my plans and here I am, singing all my songs for you. And all I know is time won't wait. It slips like water through your hands. You should know that it's never too late to make a change in plans. It's all